to 2 Timothy 3, please. 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, see, this thing right here is our Bible. This is our instruction manual. Everything we need to know is in this Bible. It's up to y'all to read it. And there, this Bible has everything from A to Z, but it just takes a little time each and every day to dig into it and find out what is in the Bible for you that day. Today, we're going to talk about emotions. Like your soul. Your soul is your will, mind, emotions, and imaginations. Amen? And how many times, nobody raise their hand, but I will, have we got an emotion roller coaster and make some wrong decisions? I mean, it happens. And in the Bible, and it teaches us, the Bible is able to teach us how to make right decisions every time that we are faced with decisions-making opportunities. One way it does this is by showing us how people make the wrong decisions, even when they have the opportunity to make the right ones. The Bible is filled with people who made some pretty bad choices. Some of the negative consequences of these decisions could be put right again, but many of them had irreversible effects that, while unless God intervened, would affect more than just one who made the wrong choice. Amen? So, we're going to go through a couple things, examples, because they're all through the Bible about bad choices. I mean, the Bible's full of nothing but people who make mistakes. The only person who has not made the mistake at all was Jesus. So you look at every single person in the Bible is some type of mishap, some type of mistake that they're showing us. And it's a good example to dig in the Bible. If you're going through something, you're going to find that example in the Bible. You just got to look and dig deep. Amen? So the first example we're going to go to is we're going to talk about King David. Amen? Let's go to 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel 11. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from that roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, that so she spent and told David, and said, "I am with child." This passage holds all kinds of mishaps and wrong decision-making upon David. We know that David wasn't perfect, but we know he loved the Lord, and he pursued him with all his heart. He made bad decision-making, getting caught up in his emotions. First, we read that he should have been out with his army instead of being home to begin with. Amen? He was caught up in his feelings and given into lustful desire and committing adultery with a married woman to one of his best and loyal warriors. Now, as we look, as it states in the Bible, and also at how David loved God, and he still made the mistake. He still got caught up in the emotions, the entanglements of this world, of the feelings. We are not to make decisions upon feelings. That is not. We get caught up in our feelings, we tend to make irrational decisions based upon that moment instead of taking a step back and figuring out what the proper antidote for the situation is. We got the spiritual law of reaping and sowing. No matter what you do, you're gonna reap or sow for. It's a cause and effect for everything. No matter what you do, no matter how small, how big, there's always a cause and effect. What there's always a ripple effect. What you take that step back and you look at the different avenues of decision making that you can go, you're gonna react or respond to certain things upon everything that you do is either gonna go to the left or to the right. And what we need to do as Christians is take the step back always and figure, is it the Christian way that we need to walk? What is if you go to the path left or to the path right, which is more relevant for walking with the Lord upon walking for your own selfish ambitions, selfish righteousness? And decision making also based upon it affects people around you. Just because you make a decision based upon your own selfish ambitions, you're affecting your family, you're affecting your children. I mean, I know I've affected my family, my children, countless times. But we have a God that's very forgiving and it's blessing everything, got restored. We're going to go to Genesis 25, 29 through 34. Now, this is the Esau and Jacob. It says, now Jacob cooked his stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm right about to die. So what is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me at this day. So he swore to him, and so he sold his birthright to Jacob, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. And then he ate and drank, arose and went his way. Then Esau despised his birthright. He got caught up in his emotions of hungry and didn't worry about nothing but his feeling at that point in time. He gave up his birthright for some food. I mean, how poor judgment is that? I mean, that is just an example of not making the proper choice. We got anxiousness. Anxiousness brings bad decisions as well. Being caught up in your emotions is a very dangerous place to be. I can't personally look back at many times to where I have actually made a proper decision based on the way I was feeling at that point in time. Being anxious is, you get caught up in your own feelings real quick, and you get worried and scared, and then you pop off making decisions without taking a step back and reacting to responding to the situation. Instead, you react. Let's go to Philippians 4:6 real quick. Says, be anxious for nothing. Everybody should know that one by heart. When we take this step back, when we're feeling anxious, when we take this step back and reset our feelings, because you can't cast out anxiousness from the fear. You can, but you still, your old man's going to want to keep bringing it at you, because you can't cast out the old man. The old man's always going to be there, and your old man, you have to share your soul with that old man, but we have to intertwine and put the old man behind us each and every time when he wants to rear his head up and get that anxious feeling of making of wrong decisions and stuff. So we need to be anxious for nothing, always take the step back, reset as many times as we need to make the proper decisions based upon walking with the Lord. Amen. Now let's go to Job. Job 20 verse 2. Therefore, my anxious thoughts make me answer because of the turmoil within me. When you're anxious, it states right here that you tend to answer way too fast than we ought. Cast that out, take a step back, reset, refocus to make the proper decisions, knowing that you're going to make the right choice. And that's one thing, it's back to reacting or responding. Always take that step back. So, yeah, always... be mindful of that spirit that pops up, that old man, because it's always going to be there. You're always going to get them fiery darts. But the more we walk in the new man, the easier it gets. It's not going to stop. The more we walk in the new man, we'll know about when it's going to pop up and make the proper decisions. We'll always make it based upon walking with the Lord. Amen? Now, how many times we made bad decisions through anger? I mean, that's probably most of my horrible decision-making is whenever I get angry. You know, I tend to be pretty passive. I let a lot of things go, but when I get angry, things come out of my mouth. I'm like, well, what in the world? Where did that come from? And it gets back to not paying attention, taking a step back, knowing what's coming out of my mouth and what decision I'm actually making. Instead, I'm being led by the spirit of anger to it. You know, nothing else matters. That matters. Going to blah, 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 blah. Make that decision. Next thing you know, you're going to reap what you sow. And whenever you're in anger making those type of situations, it's never good. I know I get caught up in that before, and that's definitely not a good way to respond. So in bad decision making through anger, a good one for that one is Genesis 4, the old story of Cain and Abel. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller on the ground. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So right there started being the changing of his countenance. Got about to make some bad decisions upon that one. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. We should have rule over all over that. Amen? Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, that you have done, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, I shall no longer yield its strength. To you, a fugitive and a vagabond, you shall be on the earth. As we see here, he got caught up in his emotions, the emotion of anger. And out of anger, he lashed out without correctly thinking of what the proper way to assess the situation, and ended him being a fugitive vagabond the rest of his life with no brother around either, because he killed him. I mean, the spirit of anger arouses the spirit of murder. It brings on, it provokes. Does anything in his power to make the situation even worse, to make the bad decisions in your life? So whenever you feel angry, do not make any decisions based upon anger. Take a step back. Take a walk. Go in your prayer closet. Do whatever you need. Go outside and scream if you have to. But do not make a decision based on anger, because it's just going to lead to sin, which then leads to death. And it's not, we have a forgiving God, but man, you do something foolish, you're going to end up in jail or, you know, and some other idiotic thing just because you're angry. Amen? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Hasten is to be quiet, to be quick to do something. So it states right here, do not be quick, do not hasten when you get a spirit of anger. Cast it out and go for a walk. Don't be quick to make any type of anything when you're angry, because usually it turns out to be in the wrong decision. Another bad choice. Hallelujah, that's what we don't need. We need a world full of good choices. We'll be getting to that, though. Let's go to James 1, please. 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Take that step back, and sometimes we just need to shut our mouth. We don't need to say a word and cool off when we get mad. Because like I said, everything that just pops out and bad decisions are made upon when you're mad. Listen to before you say it. Say, is that really what's coming out of my mouth going to be edifying? If it's not, we probably need to shut up and not say it at all. Like I said, then take a step back before you make that wrong decision. Amen? Now, when we're making big decisions, definitely do not use your emotions. Like buying a car. You go to a car lot, they want you a quick buy. It's called they want it like push without thinking about it. They want that sale and stuff. But never make a big decision based on emotions because you like something without thinking it thoroughly, especially big decisions like that. We need to get counsel from your pastor. Get counsel from somebody who has godly wisdom. Somebody who knows, been on the block a couple times. And somebody who has your best interest at hand. Somebody who doesn't have their own selfish ambitions based upon your decision. But to make sound decisions, sometimes we need to get confirmation. Always on big decisions. Don't make any big decision without talking to somebody first. I mean, would you go buy a house without speaking to somebody about it? Or just go buy it not realizing? Don't you, when you buy a house, don't you get it looked at to make sure everything's working on it, the roof and everything? You're not going to go buy it and say, oh, yeah, okay, oh, bad decision. I should have done this and this and this and that. But you always get confirmation before making any big decisions upon your life. And once again, it goes back to when you make these decisions, whether good or bad, it has a cause and effect with everybody. Like I said, just not you that's affected, man, especially when you got children now. You have a husband, you have a wife, brother or sister. Amen? And when you're angry, I've seen this poem, and it's just real short. It says, you cannot see reflection in boiling water. Similarly, you cannot see truth in the state of anger. How many times can you be angry and look at something and not see correctly, not see what's really going on? You only see what you want to see. You're not seeing the full picture. I mean, that happens a lot upon decision-making. When you're angry. So that's why you take the step back, reset as many times as you need to do, renew yourself, and know which the path you're going to choose to make the proper decision. Let's go to Proverbs 16, please. Verse 32. It reads, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes a city. When we control our emotions, we make better decisions. We are to control the old man. The old man always wants to lash out. The old man wants to always rear its ugly head up, and I'm going to do what I want, when I want. I'm going to do this person, that person, that person. No, we take control of that with the new man being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are slow to anger, we make better decisions based upon the Bible and following the Lord. Amen? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. When you get caught up in anxiousness and anger making decisions, the Lord's going to let it ride a lot of times. He's going to give the fruit of your doings. You reap what you sow. He's going to make you go through it. You always got to have to pay the consequence. I mean, that's just the way it is. In our heart, man, it's nobody knows you better than you. You know what's in your heart. You know, man, there's some wicked things that pop up from the old man stuff. You got to keep casting that down and don't make any decisions based upon that. Always know that your heart is true into something, and if you feel like it's going to be deceitful, you don't make the decision at all. You take a step back and realize what's going on, because, man, the old man wants to rear his head and put up that deceitful heart, and that's when bad decisions are to be made. Amen? Now, let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. How many times have we been foolish? Venting our feelings, making wrong decisions based upon our feelings. Man, we need to learn to sometimes keep our mouth quiet and not being an emotional roller coaster and getting all up on our feelings, making bad choices, bad decisions. Because sometimes you just need to hush it up. Amen? And we got to know how to speak and when to speak it. That is extremely important. Know when to rebuke a brother or sister. Know when not to. Because if you look at somebody's, the way they're acting, you know if you can talk to them or not about a certain situation. That's called discernment. And you may make a good decision upon that or a bad decision. But not only know when to speak to that person, but how. How are you going to confront this person? What's your decision making about confronting this person? Are you going to confront with love? Are you going to be angry, anxiousness? Are you going to blurt out stuff that's going to cause offense and cause the problem to escalate 10 times worse than what it needs to be? I mean, that's something that we all learn, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Know how to react and respond to somebody. Know when to speak and how to speak. And there's a lot of times we come in here, you almost have to be retaught how to speak to people. Because you get so caught up in the world, and it's all just in the world, it's a dog-eat-dog place. And in the kingdom of God, it's not like that at all. A lot of times you need me to bear one another's burdens and love on one another and know what the proper decision to make, when to go speak to somebody and how to speak. Amen? Let's go to Proverbs 25, verse 28. Whoever has no rule over her own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. We need to have self-control. We need to be able to control ourselves from being on an emotional roller coaster making bad decisions. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. There's level after level after level after level of it. It never stops. Once you think you gain self-control, the Lord's going to test you and put you at a different level. I promise you that. Self-control plays way big, being on an emotional roller coaster, making proper decisions upon which way we need to go. Self-control needs to be practiced. Just like the last scripture that we had about how to speak and when to speak, we've got to have the proper self-control of when speaking as well to make the proper decisions upon our life. Amen? Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness, greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, who is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The old man, I know my old man, wants to make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision based upon my selfish ambitions. I mean, that old man wants to be as selfish can be. We need to get out of that and put on the new man, and make the proper decisions upon our life, which is best suited for not only yourselves, but the people around you. Because you can be, we need to be the light in this dark world. And we get caught up in our various lusts and pleasures, and get caught up in our emotions. Man, it's real easy. Like Viv said, I think Sunday in her teaching, and we're always being looked at. All it takes, you can be walking Christ-like, man, be doing everything. You walking with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, man, you make one bad choice based upon an emotion, and it was not Christ-like. Well, I'm 100% sure that non-believer's going to look at you and going to point it right out. Even they're not walking that way, but they're going to point you out because you need to be walking that way because we're supposed to be the light of the world. And they see that. So always know that you're being watched when it comes to that. You always want to base your decisions upon being the light in the world, not the darkness of the old man. Amen? Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth, for you died, and your life's not hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. When we deny ourselves, pick up a cross and follow, we deny ourselves each and every day, we should be dead. We should not let that anger, that anxiousness, we shouldn't be taking offense to anything, making wrong decisions about that. We should be making godly decisions based upon wanting to be Christ-like. When we focus our mind, our soul, on the things above, the things of earth doesn't really matter. You know what the things of the earth are, the pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, all that stuff, and that's just sin. That's the old man, and that is 100% bad decision making anytime you choose any of those three. Right? Amen. Verse 5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, raise your hands, we elect of God, aren't we? We're elect of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Know it, receive it, believe it. Hallelujah. Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Now, regardless of the decision that we have already made, we serve a God who's able to fix our mess up, man. I mean, no matter what bad decision we make, even though we are forgiven, he forgive us with true repentance, even though you still have to, you reap what you sow, but he can turn everything to the good. He can take a mess and make it and turn it into something beautiful and use it for good. And if we set all that stuff at his feet. We're all familiar with Romans 8:28, which we know, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. So you can trust that even our mistakes can turn out good, because you are putting them in the hands of our awesome God. Now, when we make bad decisions, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I mean, you got to know that. Don't just because we make a bad decision, don't no self condemnation, and get right back up on that horse. You got to keep riding. So we do repent, we turn from that sin. And there's, I got a couple of scriptures based upon when we do make that, if we do make bad choices. This is part some scripture in the Bible we can turn to and get comfort. Amen. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall spring forth, shall you not know it? Our bad decisions turn into new things, new beginnings. We just have a different path. He can turn anything bad to good if we allow it. We set, cast all our cares upon Him. That's what we're supposed to do. We set everything at His feet. He can fix it. But if we don't set things at His feet, He can't fix it. If we don't let Him fix it, He's not going to fix it. We have to humble ourselves and know that we messed up and know that He wants to fix it. He wants to turn things around for the better. But it takes obedience, of course, and submission, but we gotta lay at His feet and give Him the opportunity to change it for us. Like I said, it's 100% fact, you're going to suffer the consequence for the bad decision. But at least you're forgiven, He's going to put you right back on the right path. That's the main thing we want to do. Always stay on the right path, correct? Make that proper decision. Revelation 21:5. Then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And He said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." That kind of goes back to what the previous scripture was. That's confirmation. Man, don't like when He confirms things upon. He will make things new. The old stuff, you don't look back at. You make that bad decision. No, keep going forward. He's going to make it new. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Grace is God's plan of escape. Whenever we make those bad decisions based upon our emotions, He gives us that way of escape, and His grace is sufficient for us. He's going to give us that path of escape each and every time we cast that at His feet. But what we need to learn is we need the self-control and know that how you can make good decisions upon bad decisions, because everybody's different. Everybody's built differently. Somebody's emotions are lighter in one sense and heavier in another. We all get out on that roller coaster once in a while. I mean, I know I get on that roller coaster, and there's some crazy turns sometimes. But when you're on that roller coaster, that's when we get in our prayer closet and make sure we don't make the decisions. When we're on that roller coaster of emotions, we can make strong, Christ-like decisions upon our life. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We ask, Father, that Your word just hits ground and bears fruit for Your glory, Lord. We ask, Lord, You just help us make the proper decisions upon our life, Lord. We thank You for all the wonderful things that You have done and are going to do, Lord. We ask, Lord, just keep blessing this ministry. Keep blessing our families, Lord. We love You, we adore You. In Jesus' name we pray.